you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Reading the news and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace a chance. That was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. All but California, California, coming home. I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss a sunset peak, California, I'm coming home.
Joni Mitchell, her classic Blue album released 50 years ago today, California, which of course is written from the perspective of her being thousands of miles away from California. But the influence of her music from Laurel Canyon and the Hollywood Hills to the group of musicians with whom she spent so much of her time comes through so clearly in this powerful album, which has had great influence on many singers-songwriters who have followed Joni Mitchell. Joining us to talk about the power of the album is the author of Reckless Daughter, A Portrait of Joni Mitchell, David Yaffe. David, thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the impact of this. What is the breadth of the effect of this album on other artists who would follow?
I think that she had the bravery to have a certain level of intimacy and disclosure and say things that a lot of people were feeling, but no one had the courage to say, even something as simple as I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad. You know, people don't really talk about being selfish and being sad, not in a pop song. I think it's because pop songs are generally made to be distractions from those kinds of emotions. And I also think that they were made to be guilesome. They were made to be advertisements for themselves. They were made to be charming. They were made to be pop songs, you know, and those kinds of emotions were thought to be unappealing. But when Joni expressed them, they were so honest, but she expressed them with such euphony that it still made it beautiful, even though the emotion itself is so raw.
The album, when it was released, my understanding is it didn't connect in a large-scale way with album buyers.
That's true. It wasn't a big seller at first. Over time, it became her biggest seller. It sold more than 10 million copies over time. But that took a very long time. The album that was the biggest initial commercial success was Court and Spark, which was two albums later. But over time, it did become the big seller. And I think especially in the 90s, certainly when I was in college in the 90s, there were a lot of very Joni-influenced singer-songwriters who were particularly blue-influenced, people like Natalie Merchant or Sarah McLachlan. And so if I would go to girls' dorm rooms and they would have their CD collections and they would have their Sarah McLachlan and their Natalie Merchant, then Blue would be alongside those albums. And if they were to have only one Joni Mitchell album in that collection, it would most likely be Blue.
I'd love to hear from listeners. Share with us the influence of the album on you as a fan of Joni Mitchell, or if you're a musician yourself. I'd love to hear your reflections on the power of the album 5 decades after its release. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, contributing editor at Pitchfork, and writer for the Los Angeles Times, Jen Pelly, whose latest piece is in 1971, Nothing Sounded Like Joni Mitchell's Blue. 50 years later, it's still a miracle. Jen, thank you very much for being with us, and describe why it's still a miracle.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I feel talking about blue to me feels almost like talking about color. It's that elemental to me, and really remarkable to, I think in a lot of ways, the album kind of, to paraphrase Joni, was the key that set everything free for women singer-songwriters. As long as I have been a serious music fan, it's been pretty much the holy grail of songwriting. And it's been exciting to see more nuance coming to the conversation about that over the past week.
We think, of course, of prior to Joni Mitchell, Billie Holiday having a huge influence on women and male performers who would follow. Who were the biggest influences on Mitchell?
Well, something that Joni talks about a lot is, aside from the musical influences of Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen, she talks about being really inspired by Miles Davis, for example. And I think it's been really exciting in the discourse around Joni Mitchell now to see people really making sense of that and trying to understand how Joni's voice was, that's what she was reaching for, kind of the emotionality of jazz music. She's a painter also, and was really inspired by Picasso, for example. I think these influences you can kind of hear in the tone of her music too, which is so inquisitive and so unique to her. And that's been exciting to learn more about.
I was wondering also the title track Blue, if that is in any way a reference to Kind of Blue, the landmark Miles Davis recording released in 1959, which also is one that revolutionized the presentation of jazz.
That's such a good question. I wonder if David knows. There's a really incredible piece in NPR, actually, that ran over the weekend that explores Joni's connection to Miles Davis. I think it's fair to assume that it was at least some kind of inspiration, since she spoke of Miles Davis as being her hero, more or less. That song in particular, I think, is so fascinating. And there's a book from 2009 called Will You Take Me As I Am, where she talks about the title track Blue and how it was, when she sang of Crown and Anchor Me or Let Me Sail Away, it was a metaphor for the actual situation for women at the time, and how women were supposed to be tied down. But the entirety of Blue is kind of subverts that idea. The whole album is her narrating her experience of being a woman in motion and traveling and exploring herself and the world.
We're talking with Jen Pelly, contributing editor at Pitchfork and writer for the Los Angeles Times. Ann Powers' piece was the one that Jen was just mentioning, which we'll have a link to on our AirTalk page, and writing it for NPR and their website. Briefly, anything that you can add to the points that Jen was making about the influences, David?
Oh, of course. Joni and I talked about Miles Davis quite a bit, actually. If you see that when there was a complete film that was made of Joni's Isle of Wight performance in 1970, in which she played some of the songs that are on Blue, she tried to play Mild Man, for example, and was drowned out. But you see her backstage meeting Miles Davis for the first time. And that was around the time that she was writing that song. And Joni met Miles a few years later. Joni's boyfriend was Don Elias, who had played percussion on Bitches Brew. He played the trap kit on Miles Runs the Voodoo Down on Bitches Brew. And Joni was dying to meet Miles, and Miles was dying to meet Joni. This was when Miles was in his locked up period, when he had retired from music and would refuse to come out of his lair until somebody gave him $1 million, and he was doing a lot of drugs and in a really bad place. And so he was alone in this room with Joni, and he tried to make a move on her, but then he passed out, and he had his arms on a death-like, his hands on a death-like grasp on her ankles, and she had to yell for Don to unpry him. She always wanted to work with him. But she did do 10 albums with Wayne Shorter, and Wayne Shorter was a huge influence on her. And there were things that Miles said to Wayne that Wayne would then say to Joni and would get through to Joni. And one thing that Miles said to Wayne that made a huge impact on him was he said, when I play the trumpet, I don't think of it as a trumpet. I think of it as a vessel, you know, kind of getting beyond medium, so to speak. And I think that Joni tried to do the same thing with what she was doing, going beyond what a singer-songwriter was supposed to do.
And of course, Herbie Hancock with his then later Grammy Award-winning album of Joni Mitchell's music. We're talking with David Yaffe, author of Reckless Daughter, A Portrait of Joni Mitchell, also with us Jen Pelly of Pitchfork and the LA Times, who recently wrote about this 50th anniversary of the release of Joni Mitchell's Blue.
Songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on.
Joni Mitchell from the Blue Album, River. We'll continue our conversation on Mitchell's landmark recording in just 1 minute.
Just before our ship got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, you're just as silly as a northern fish. If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster pad that didn't make me laugh at all, I drew a map of Canada, oh Canada. And I charted our last squall. Oh, you are in my blood like holy wine. You taste so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you.
Joni Mitchell from her landmark Blue Album, released 50 years ago today, recorded in Los Angeles at what was then A&M Studios, a storied history for that lot, Charlie Chaplin Studios many years before, A&M Records with its recording studios, now Henson Productions on La Brea in Hollywood. We're talking about Joni Mitchell's Blue, the huge influence it's had on singer-songwriters who would follow. And I'd like to hear from you, your reaction to the album, what it's meant to you, perhaps at different times in your life. If you yourself write or perform, I'd be interested to hear what the influence of this album has been on you. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. David Yaffe's author of Reckless Daughter, A Portrait of Joni Mitchell. Canada gets a mention there. And of course, the references to the life she made in California. She establishes herself as a singer, songwriter. The sense of place is throughout the album, isn't it, David?
It absolutely is. And then something that some people might not know is that song is mostly about Leonard Cohen. It was Leonard that said to Joni, I'm as constant as the Northern Star, which is a line from Julius Caesar, actually. And in fact, Brutus says it to Caesar shortly before A Tu Brute. But that line, love is touching souls, comes from Rilke. And it is, it's from a poem called Love Song. And the line is, everything that touches you and me wheels us as played strings sound one melody. Where is the instrument whence the sound flow? And who's the master hand that holds the bow, oh sweet song?
Let's talk with Ruth Ann in Pasadena. Ruth Ann, What did blue mean to you?
Oh, goodness. Blue was kind of set the tone for my young adulthood. I was a college student when it came out, and my roommate and I rushed out and bought the album on the day that it was released, and we sat holding hands. We were so excited in the living room as we listened.
Hard to believe it's been 50 years since that day, isn't it?
Kind of frightening, yes, indeed. And it still feels fresh to me every time I hear it. I love every song. And then about 3 years later, I had a random meeting with Joni Mitchell when I was on tour as a dancer. And they seated her all by herself at a table next to us in an empty Mexican restaurant in Albuquerque.
Wow.
I started shivering, and I said, "You're Joni, aren't you?" And she went, "Yes." And I said, "I love you. I love your music. You know, I worship you." And she just started the nicest conversation with our table of dancers. And then I said, "Well, I wish we could see your show, but we have our own show tonight." And she said, "That's okay. I'm going to leave you tickets at the door, and I'm going to go on late so you can see more of it."
Wow. Ruth Ann, thank you so much for sharing your personal experience and what blues meant to you. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Jen Pelly of Pitchfork and the LA Times, when you look at artists today that are hugely popular, Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, what do you see as the impact on those younger singer-songwriters?
I think Joni's influence on an artist like Taylor Swift, for example, totally can't be overstated. She has specifically cited Blue as her favorite album of all time. And I think when you listen to her music, the specificity of her lyrics and the level of detail that she brings and the openness of her songwriting, very similar to Joni's music, or very clearly descendant of that music. And I think something that she understands that Joni did is that she created a mirror for people by showing them who she really is, and by not being afraid to show the messier sides of her life or a romantic situation or the more complicated, complex feelings she was grappling with.
Jen and David, thank you both very much for being with us. I appreciate it so much. We leave you with My Old Man. Fifty years ago today, Joni Mitchell's Blue was released. We pay tribute to it and talk about its influences. Much more to come in the second hour of Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.